I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, buckle up because this episode is going to be too tough to tame. Breaking down all things Southern 500. Kyle Larson gets the win. Playoff drivers have some issues. We had some pit road boats and woes, and we'll break down my day. I rode around for 500 miles and finished in the exact same spot that I started. But buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stacking Pennies presented by Mobile One.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking pennies.
Hello, friends. I'm Corey LaJoy, driver of the number 7 Chevy Camaro. Joined by my two friends to my left, front tire changer of Ryan Blaney's Ford Mustang, Ryan Flores.
Hey, old friend.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
It's going well. And you?
How's the appendix feeling?
It's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Not even
in
there.
Never.
How's the hole it came out of?
It's good.
Good.
Sealed up tight.
Sealed up tight.
Yep.
Good. And then to my right, Danielle Trotta.
Hello. How are you guys?
Oh, we're excited to do the show.
You started where you ended, but at least you were consistent.
Yeah.
Over 500 miles.
There's.
It's tough to do.
God, that's a long freaking night to gain zero spots.
Yeah.
I mean, there was times I lost a lot of spots, and there was times I gained a lot of spots. And I was up and down, sideways, got stuck in the fence late, thought we could have salvaged a, 15th to 18th place day, and you know what meant to be. We finished last card on lead lap.
There was a point in time when you put us three wide on a restart, three wide bottom.
Well, somebody got jammed up on the top lane,
and
there.
I was like, if this mother wrecks us,
we got,
it's
I got close
be
in
a
the middle
long
of one too.
Week for me.
we hit wheels.
Yeah, well, Blaine came over radio after that and said, why does every mother need to drive in the side of my door when they get alongside? Because I guess you're like the fifth one that did it.
Well, him and the 42 are getting into it, too.
Yeah.
The 42, a little bit of dart without feathers. He was fast enough to be in the mix all night. Carson Hocevar running his second Cup Series race. Kid's got some speed.
Now, how do the competitors look at his race? Because the fans have been losing their mind over a 17th place run. Like, oh, my God, Hocevar, second Cup race ever. That was incredible. And it was, right?
Yeah.
He kept it clean from our standpoint. But you're saying maybe drivers felt a little different.
Well, I think anybody that comes in is just going, they don't really know the etiquette and they don't know how hard you're supposed to go at the right or the wrong times, right? To come in for Darlington in your second Cup race and run as well as he did is certainly a great job. Obviously, Legacy Motor Club bring a great car to Darlington. I mean, yeah. Eric won there last year. He was a top five guy all night. I think they lost some spots on pit road. So obviously those guys have some knowledge of how to build a car that gets around Darlington well, and he was able to kind of maintain there all night. And he was out of shape often. I cut him a couple breaks. So we
42?
Yeah. He was wrecked a couple times out of turn two, and I just didn't turn him because I was being a nice guy.
He looks like damn Gilligan, but he has got some dog in him.
He's got a lead foot for sure.
He does a good job. I would say I'm impressed with his qualifying effort, with his run. I mean, it's probably better than that car's run all year.
Oh, it's but without question the better that
best finish for that car since March.
You know what I'd say?
Yeah.
Go get your own car. See how you do.
Well, because somebody else is getting that car next year. I do believe Hocevar is finishing the year out in that car. So he's going to be getting some experience.
Really?
For the last 9 races of the year. So we did talk yesterday. I called him up like, yo, man, I cut you 2 brakes throughout the course of the race when you're crossed up. And then the first time we get side by side, you plug me in the fence with like 30 to go. You know, he lays it all out of his intention and, you know, he says it was avoidable, and he said it was sorry, and situational, he just made a mistake, which I was fine with. And I went the other way to tell him, like, hey, man, like, use these rest of the races to gain some respect from these guys. Because really and truly, if you know what you're doing next year, which he does, then there's really no need to withdraw out of the account of everybody that are going to be racing around. It more beneficial for him to just put some in the bank. If you have to give a spot up and it's early in the race, don't run somebody side by side through turn two at Darlington, right? If it's early.
And what'd he say?
And he said that made some sense. Now, if I'm 20 years old listening to 31-year-old driver, I'm probably going to be like, yeah, sure, man, whatever. I'm going to come here and smoke you. That's probably what he's saying, right? But I think he has a good opportunity for the last little bit of the year to gain some respect, especially if he has the pace, he's got what it takes. But you will get run out and run around and run into often if you are known as that guy that drives into everything, trying to go forward. So sitting here looking at the video, he was out of my windshield for Coleridge close call of the week with that 42. Racing hard here. I think I'm probably 17th, give or take, on some decent tires, trying to make a run to the front with like 25 to go. Play the tape, Nick.
Roll it.
We're going into turn 3 and 4. Who's that? It's 47 on the bottom, the 19 on the top. I'm trying to get a little bit of clean air. I'm trying to set the 19 up to pass them. A little bit tight. And we roll down, grab fifth gear here, going to turn 1. I was really tight on land up the hill. Get a little tight. And so the 42, you can't see it, but rolls to my left rear quarter door. And the pay window's open. You got to keep your spots, come back on the outside, and he just plugs us in the fence. You know, and I got a little bit. The wheel came out of my hand, and I went down the straightaway and got into his door a little bit. But that essentially bent our toe links and upper control arms, so we were just kind of hanging on after that. So that was my close call. It wasn't even close because it was it's contact, I guess. So that was – we saw that a couple times, a couple guys get into the outside wall. But you go look at a guy like Kyle Larson and Tyler Reddick around the fence.
Dude, I've never seen anybody hit the fence as much as they have. And then you see, like, Chris Bell hit the fence. Obviously, he hit it a little harder. Like, they were more laying it on the fence, I'd say, not hitting it.
Yeah. Well,
but still,
we saw,
he hit it the
so
wrong
now,
22.
Man, with this car, I'll tell TJ Bell, my spotter, every green flag run, when you get run two pit stops, I mean, when we're trisecting a stage like we saw the first and second stage being trifecta. There was the trifecta. All the rubbers, like old school Darlington, collect out of turn two. And you can just, you're on new tires and you're making speed and you're watching your lap times lower than you've seen all night because the track's cooled down, and you open your turn two up a little bit. And you get your right side tires 6 inches into the marbles and it just takes off.
And that's what happened with 20.
And the eight plugged it in the fence too out of there. Every race now with this next gen car, as much as this thing makes marbles and you don't see cautions as often as you did, you see somebody get hung up in the marbles and plug it in turn two. So unfortunately for Chris Bell, he had a really, really good car until that incident. And
hey, we talked about it on spare change, right? When it's kind of on a silver platter for you to take, it usually doesn't work out, right? Gets the best pit crew in the sport, pit stall one, qualifies on the pole.
Had a bad pit stop to start the day.
Yeah, we'll break that down, Boats and Woes, or we could talk about it right now. It doesn't matter. He just came in the same time the 43 was. 43 was in pit stall two, and he kind of turned around him and drove like deep into his box, and it got all those guys bound up.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Darrell jacked it, the jack handle came loose and it fell back down. And it was a long pit stop, and it put him behind. I think they had gone long anyway, so they were a little bit behind. And then you start trying, right? You get behind.
Car doesn't drive as good. You're
compound mistakes. And then next thing you know, you're having a terrible day. I mean, it was all things considered, how it was looking going into it, that was a terrible day for the 20.
For sure. Terrible day for a couple playoff guys who had some bad ones.
I mean, Gibbs, I don't know where they were. I mean, the loose wheel, not good for the 11. The 19 just missed it all weekend. And the 20 had self-inflicted issues, to your point. I mean, the three Gibbs playoff drivers, you came in, you were like, these guys have more momentum and more speed maybe than anybody else. Truex, the best finisher of the three? An 18th? Oof.
Yeah, well, those two got wrecked, right?
Didn't see that
but,
coming.
But to think that, you know, Tyler Reddick is sitting there not in a Gibbs proper car, right? And he damn near won the race.
Yeah.
Who had him penciled in? It's not surprising.
I did.
That
he was my pick
best.
On spare change. I told him I sat next to him in the driver's
meeting. I thought you picked Larson.
No. I said I ate my words because I said I didn't think the Chevy was going to win. I said Tyler Reddick, I think, is the guy tonight.
Yeah, you did.
So
you
I sat next to him at the driver's meeting. I said, hey, man, you're my pick tonight. So don't screw me here.
What'd he say? Okay.
He said, I'll try not to. He goes, oh, really? I'm like, yeah.
The other guy you sat next to in the driver's meeting.
Ryan Preece.
Dude, what'd that thing look like up close? Those
you
eyes.
Ever seen a shark size Chiefy? All dark and lifeless like.
I mean,
it was. He looked like, I don't know, Chucky or something, like something out of a damn horror movie.
It did.
Oh, yeah, he took his sunglasses off. I was like, oh, Jesus, gotta warn me next time.
Yeah, it was a classic Ricky Rudd.
Davey Allison. Like,
he missed a great opportunity to tape his eyeballs open.
I love the guys that are like, no, these people never seen sprint car eyes. Like, wait a minute. That's a 3,600-pound car. I get that it happens in sprint cars a lot.
Let's not even compare. My man freaking went for the tumble of the century.
Oh,
yeah.
And was racing 6 days later. Shout out.
Is that just all the broken blood vessels that happen just from all the G-forces and the inertia? And
yeah.
That's what happens?
Yeah. Jesus.
Has that ever happened to you?
Knock on wood. No. I have not flipped a cup car. And I would ideally not have to feel what that feels like. Doesn't look like it's a good time.
He says he's fine.
I think shit was moving a little faster for him than he would like to admit.
It wasn't. He didn't have a great, did not have a, I don't know what was going on with the 41, but they did not have good qualifying effort and a pretty dismal race.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a car accident where you actually feel pretty good the next couple of days? Like
I'm giving him a pass.
Yeah. I'll give him a pass.
I'm giving a pass too.
Yeah. But my man, no doubt he's tough. And he wasn't letting anybody else get behind that wheel of race car. He was signed off. Hey, those doctors give him a thorough exam.
Yeah.
He got cleared twice. He was like, the second time I went back just to make sure.
Yeah. It's like, are you sure?
Yeah. Look, have you at seen my eyes?
Look at me. Look at my eyes.
Does
Look
this
me in
look
the
normal
eyes and tell
to
me
you?
I'm good. Oh. Yeah. Man, I don't know. Like, we talk in length about the Chevys. Like you said, you switched your pick, but they charged like there at the end of the first stage. There they were, slowly but surely. And
like you said, that's a race, man, where you just stack pennies all day. You get a couple spots here. You get a spot or two on a sequence.
People
you get
take
a spot
themselves
on a restart.
Out.
You get three or four guys in the top 10 take themselves out. And then you
I think it's more than that.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like it, right? Like, let's go through it. It was the 20, right?
23.
And then the 23 kind of spun out. But
well, no, but he took himself out of it and was fighting
four,
back. Yeah.
The 11. Right. There's if we just looked at it though, the 17 almost did with that fire, but they kept them guys were dogs for a minute.
Dog move.
But there was it's all day long. And then that's not even talking about the stuff that's happening on the racetrack. Right? The 45 almost did it to himself trying to pit there.
Yeah.
How about Newman? Newman.
Gosh.
What a beauty.
What a beauty. I don't even know if, like, how does even something like that, what he said, come to your mind?
Because he's just
Ryan Newman.
Dude, he's been racing modifieds. He was racing modified at Carteret County on Friday. Just mattered in hell.
Just getting a little dirt under the fingernails.
Just hoping Reddick stuck a little something out the window, maybe. Give a little warning next time, please.
I don't think that his team gave him enough warning. I just, that was a botched call for sure. They didn't want to get undercut, right? The four called it late, and then the 45 just jammed on the brakes, downshifted, trying to make it to pit road, and just couldn't get there in time. But that's how important it is to undercut one lap. I mean, one lap is a difference of 2.5 seconds.
Well, the four was coming, too. Right?
For sure.
The four was coming. And then talk about if you could draw it up a perfect way, right?
To
stand
just
on the brakes, spin the guy out behind you.
And, yeah. Well, that was great. And then keep going.
The 51 racing the leaders. I looked. I'm like, who the hell's in the 51 this week? And Mule just
Rocket
points
Man.
To it and says, Newman. Newman. I loved it.
Well, he's getting his lap back the old-fashioned way.
I love it.
Tyler was mad, too.
Yeah.
Tyler was?
Yeah, and Dave Rogers. They were complaining, like, went over to the 51, like, why are you making it so tough to pass? I'm like,
have they ever met Newman?
Have you ever met Ryan Newman? What do you think he was going
to
do?
That sucker's been making it hard to pass since Tyler Reddick was in diapers.
The one with Logano. Did you ever, that from Michigan, where Joey's like, you race me hard? I race. Yes, I race. And he's like, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I felt so
he's like,
bad.
Well, I had
Joey
the lift, so I wouldn't spin
young.
Out. He's like, well,
like,
maybe you don't have enough talent. Dude, Newman just
he went in
ruthless,
on him.
Ruthless.
Joey was like 12. I'm like, can we not?
Joey said,
he's just a boy.
Joey said, dude. He said, don't dude me. He said, don't dude me.
Come on,
I love
Newman.
Having him back on the grid.
I do too. I loved it. You can't just pull over.
Tyler Reddick stopped in the middle of a green flag racing condition.
Correct.
In the middle of the corner.
Correct.
Yeah, can't do that.
And he got mad that Ryan Newman raced. I'm like, hey, be happy that he's not there every week. And that's what everybody
Tyler
dealt
said
with forever.
He's dealing with like conspiracy theorists. Harvick fans are all over him on Twitter. Like, you did that on purpose. You manipulated that caution to take Harvick's race away. Tyler's like, I talked to him Monday. He's like, just made a mistake. Like,
I wouldn't even make it a mistake. It was his spotter and crew chief not being proactive enough to tell him within a timely fashion to come down pit road.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Well, and
Tyler's doing his job to try to get to pit road.
Yeah.
At some point, as a driver, you can't just be at the fence, stop and try. Oh, I'm going that way. Like,
you do have to be like, can't make that. I'll catch y'all the next time. Bye.
Yeah. Like, sorry, missed it. Because that dude, if he gets run over by the 51 there, see ya.
Night over.
Yeah. Yeah, you ought to be thanking Ryan Newman.
Should be.
I mean, really and truly. But I think it's easy for everybody to sit there on the couch, everybody to sit there on a Tuesday afternoon and break down all this stuff that is within seconds.
A replay in slow motion. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, with vantage points that aren't what the active competitors are doing. You know, people want to nitpick, why just didn't the four just drive through? Why didn't the four just take a right and miss the commitment code? Because there are so many factors. One, you're hot, you're sweating. All your focus is on trying to get on pit road. You're looking at your pit road lights to make sure that you don't speed when you get on pit road. You're not looking out of your right side window to see somebody spinning out. There's just so many variables that go into, and I'm sure even though there was a lapse of probably some communication that could have helped Rodney say, let's just roll through and blend back in the top 10 and try to salvage our race and work back from that, as opposed to pitting, taking the penalty, starting behind all the wave around cars, and their race was essentially over after that. Gosh, I wish Kevin Harvick would have been a Southern 500 champion as last year.
Does he win?
Does he get back in big
I thought he was going to win. I thought he was going to win.
Well, that was last week, Danielle.
Two weeks in a row.
Yeah, he doesn't. I mean, like, he was real in the 45, and their pit crew was way better than on average.
Bristol,
their pit crew was the best in the playoffs, the best playoff car, them in the 24. So, you know, you put the ball in their court late in the race.
Corey, what do you do? I mean, do you have any – because I guess Rodney's saying he didn't know whether the light was on or not.
Yeah, he can't see it.
He can't see it. And everyone's like, well, why didn't he just drive through? Why serve the – why serve?
Because
why
there's a little
the
bit
stop?
Of – there's a little bit of, like, confusion, because that's always, like, questionable thing. Am I on pit road? Okay, yellow's out. Did I make it on the light? Is procedure to roll through here? If we did make it on the green before the caution come out, we pit, and now we can actually cycle to the lead because we were on pit road right before the caution come out. But Harvick, if he's trying to find his lights, his pit road lights, not the red or white or green light to know if the caution came out and he's on pit road, he's looking at his pit road speed. He's not looking at that, because you're constantly dragging the car down, downshifting, boom, boom, and you're backing your RPMs up to get within the RPM range right when you get to the line. And it was, what, two car lengths before? And so he's in the process still of trying to drag the lights down to find his lights of pit road speed to not – I never look at the pit road light. Your spotter calls it under green or yellow when pit road's open, and then you just come down pit road. So – it's easy to look at it and say, well, Rodney missed it. Well, Rodney can't see it. The spotter missed it. Well, can't quite tell if he was on pit road or not. And if you really wanted to get into the weeds on it, I think Timmy called it to roll through. And there was an audible last second. Rodney told him to pit.
But how did the 24 miss it and make that decision that quickly?
24
so he
and
had,
the 5.
He had about three car lengths more of
did they look
of
at
a
the light?
Stay out.
Yeah, but at
but
that.
But they were way further
that,
back.
Right? Stay out, right? Stay out. Like, it's a bang. I'm with you. I'm just playing devil's advocate because it's a bang-bang thing. He's got 30 seconds, maybe 18.
Not quite.
Give him 18 seconds from the line until he gets to his pit box.
Yeah.
Well, why can't you make the decision? Was the lighter on or off in that much? It's a quick thing, right? But the 24 and the 5 knew to not
come
the pit
all.
Road. So are they looking at that light, or is that their spotter?
That's
or what
a spotter. If you pull the tape on, that's 100% spotter. It would be your spotter emphatically telling you, because you are going to, when they tell you to pit, you are 100% committed as a driver to come down pit road. It would take your spotter emphatically telling you, stay out to yank it to the right like William Byron did. It's not like you're dragging your lights down, you grab a couple gears, you just have the wherewithal to look at the light. You look at a car spinning, you look at the light, and then in the span of about 3/4 of a second, you bang a right. That's not how.
Would it help if that light, instead of being on a pole, came like over?
It would help if there's a light on the dashboard, and we've talked about that. Like kind of like an ARCA car, but not as gaudy. Because there's some question now. Like if there's delay in your spotter calling a yellow, right? If it's on the other side of the track and you're racing somebody, if I pass somebody out of turn two and the caution comes out, depending on where that light is or depending on where that cross the loop last, you can contend and you waste some time under green flag or yellow flag conditions, like arguing a spot. But if there was a caution light on the dash, that way you instantly, when you knew it was out, where you are relative to somebody else, you'd be like, or if the light comes on, you know instantly that pit road's closed, then you could take that into your own account and bang it right and miss pit road.
Copy.
So since there's no way within the car to instantly see a caution, you're relying on your spotter and communicate and your crew chief communicating.
Would you ever, because to your point, you could hear it over communication. Like at some point, Timmy was like, just roll through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rodney called the pit. Is there any way that you as a driver would ever listen to your spotter and just call off the pit stop, even if your crew chief called you in?
I assume, and I wasn't the one in the moment. I would assume that Kevin didn't know for sure if he was on, if he made the light or didn't make the light.
Now, do you think from where the spotter stand, do you think Timmy knew?
Yeah.
You think he knew?
Yeah.
Okay.
And just didn't maybe communicate it effectively.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure they've had meetings about that this week.
I'm sure.
Oh.
Like, going over that's every such a unique breakdown such a unique, and communication.
It's hard, too, because it's like, it's not absolutely clear. If you're within a half a second, and if you happen to, let's just say the other side, if they were on pit road and the light flashed just before their bumper cross, or right after their bumper cross pit load, they put four tires on it, they cycle to the lead.
Right.
So you're kind of hoping that you were on pit road by an inch.
And that's what Rodney said the gamble was for him.
Yeah.
He said, if you think you maybe made the light, you pit and stay the leader and remain in control of the race. You're trying to win. That was my goal. Yeah.
And there it is.
You can't question that. Yeah, I mean, can't. At that time, he didn't know. But to answer your question earlier, I do think that they're going to find a way to win. And that's what kills me for Rodney, is I know how bad he wants it for Kevin.
Yeah.
Like, Kevin's like, I asked him this week, and he's like, I'm at peace either way. Like, I don't need it. I feel like Rodney will feel like such a failure if he doesn't. And no not, pressure, that he, not that he, not that, no, not, I think it's self-inflicted pressure. Like, I think Rodney wants it that bad for his guy. Like, and they don't,
and the whole everything team, that, probably.
Yeah.
For
I mean,
sure.
And I just feel so bad for Rodney, and because the whole sport this week is just like dissecting every like little thing that led to this massive mistake. And there was so much more on the line than like, yeah, it's a Southern 500. Yeah, it's a playoff race. But to me, it's like, it's winning one more time. It's winning one more time.
Yeah.
You know? And like, you were so freaking close. Like, who would have known there was how many laps left? 50, 60 some odd laps left in the
40-ish.
Race. Who knows what would have played out? But God, to just
he'd have
piss
been in
that
mix.
One away.
He'd have been
here's
in the
thing,
mix.
They got to just get back on the horse because he can still win the championship and ride off into the sunset.
Come on.
Right? That's a likely, better than likely for most people.
Improbable, but still potential.
They're better likely for him than most people. I mean, it's not that improbable. They haven't run very well.
Kevin Harvick is a top 10 greatest driver of all time.
Yeah, so like
I'm not counting the guy out.
No.
At all.
No. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Do your pennies stretch as far as they used to? Most likely it doesn't. Here's why. It took 200 years for the U.S. to print its first $5 trillion. Today, Washington has done that in just 3 years. The problem, every new dollar makes each one of your dollars worth less, robbing you and every other hardworking American. But you can stop this cycle of robbery by diversifying your IRA or 401k into gold, an asset that has stood the test of time. Our new sponsor, Birch Gold Group, has helped tens of thousands of Americans protect their retirement savings with physical precious metals. Now you can too. Get a free info kit on gold right now by texting the word Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, to 989-898. With an A-plus rating with the BBB, you're in good hands with Birch Gold. So get your free info kit by texting Corey to the number 989-898. Go check them out. Put some pennies in some gold. Somebody else you can't count out, no matter where we go, no matter what surface the racetrack is Kyle Larson. My man, which surprisingly hasn't won a points race since Martinsville. And what's that, May?
17 races, yeah.
Feels like an eternity.
Does.
And Kyle Larson.
I saw it was like a win 17 race.
Jeez.
Winless streak. I'm like.
Been slacking.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So brutal.
Yeah. I mean.
A lot of people would want that problem.
How does he sleep at night?
Yeah.
But he didn't come in with a ton of playoff points. And that's why this was so big to me. Like, I know everyone's like, oh, it's Larson. You got to consider him a favorite. But he didn't have a lot of points to play with coming into this thing.
He's got five more.
Locked five into the round now. Of 12.
Yeah, that was. I mean, that's big for those guys. Cliff, did you hear Cliff during the race?
I can only imagine.
Kyle, the ball's in his court. You just run your line. Like, every lap. Every lap. I'm so proud of you, Kyle Larson. He sounds more like a robot than when we played kickball with him.
I call him Tony Robbins. I mean, the motivational speeches down the stretch were classic.
So in the kickball days, you used to get him and be like, I could see Kyle being like, all right, man.
I got it. Okay.
Like, his, you know, Larson, when he goes and runs, like, if you're winning the Knoxville Nationals, right, you got a race monitor. You don't have somebody talking to you, a race receiver. Yeah. You don't have, like, anybody talking to you. So, like, him running the fence. Okay, Kyle.
You are 2 inches off the fence. I need a little bit.
This is mission control. It's Cliff on the box from two laps ago.
He's going to make
Remember
a mistake.
Remember when I told you you're doing a good job? You're still doing a good job.
You are not.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. He was.
But he kept hitting the, he kept just knocking into the wall. And he said it made his car better.
Sure.
Putting some rear steering on that thing. A little tight.
I don't know. I mean, or just you're searching for grip and you have none. That if you just bounce it off the wall, it gives it it just helps it make the corner.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the 45 started doing. They had the camera on a spoiler in the microphone, and he was just literally gassing it up to drive it into the fence to turn it and to finish the corner. I was like, maybe I'm driving it f***ed up. Am I driving it wrong by not trying to hit the wall?
Those two guys grew up at the same place, you know, racing those mini outlaws.
What do they call it? Crazy Land?
Cycle Land?
Yeah.
You know, so it's cool to see. I think people often forget that Tyler Reddick was right there kind of racing with Kyle Larson growing up. And Tyler Reddick, dude, he's done some serious dirt racing. And yeah.
Could you run that line, Corey, for that many laps? Someone stalking you?
I don't. I
would. He doesn't want to say no.
No.
I think he could.
I don't.
You just can't begin to explain the intense amount of focus it takes and how there is zero margin for error. If you drive it in the corner 2 feet too deep, and if you use 20 pounds not enough brake pressure, you're gonna hit the fence. So for my, I think the difference between running third and winning is probably ripping the fence and doing that. But for what our team objectives was to keep the right side clean all night, and I ran the fence. If there was 367 laps, I probably ran the top half if I was racing somebody. And also the guy in front of you, if he's running within a car width of the fence, it's better just to go wherever the air is, I generally feel like. So about half, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you I can run it like Kyle Larson or Tyler Reddick. Like, those guys are exceptional at doing that.
Are they the two best in Cup? Is there anybody else that's even close?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think there's anybody that's close. I mean, Danny Hamlin, I think, his car was just so good that he didn't have to run the top.
Yeah.
Like, he even said that on his podcast where he's like, yeah, I mean, I was like so fast that I saw the five go up there and start kind of hitting the fence. And I was like, oh, I'm really good here because I haven't even had to move up or anything yet.
Yeah, it's so hard.
When it gets to when it gets to putting it on the fence, those two are.
You guys make it look so easy, but It looked so hard.
Well, that's like, I think that's the common misconception of people watching the race. Like, you're seeing a lot of these next gen races go long green runs, a lot of green flag stops, particularly places that get strung out, or even anywhere for that matter. And don't confuse that with the cars are easier to drive. I mean, you are one ill-timed throttle placement away from spinning out every lap. And I think you can sit there and ride along and listen to people modulating the gas and putting themselves right up against the wall for 4 hours. I mean, it takes so much mental concentration, and the cars are not, just because they're not visibly sliding around, that's why the majority, all of us are professionals, because you don't want them to slide around. You don't want to burn your tire. You don't want to slide your tires. You want to drive it to the very verge of tire slip, and you drive it to what your car can give you and try to make the most amount of speed. So that's why I think everybody loves Darlington, because it is a challenge and you see guys out of shape and you see guys hit the wall. But yes, Darlington is a freaking mentally taxing event, which I think that's why people get so pumped up to win there, because you knew you were the best guy on that day and you executed over probably the longest race of the year. So there are some guys that didn't execute over the longest race of the year in pit road boats and woes. You want to get into that?
Let's jump right in.
Let's jump right in after the break.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
For me, race day is a great reason to shut down the laptop, put the phone on silent, and simply enjoy the driving. But Mobile One wants to remind you that you can get that same kind of escape any day of the week. How? By simply hopping in your car, rolling the windows down, and hitting the road. No emails, no calls, no work, just freedom. Mobile One, for the love of driving. All right, guys, it's time for some pit road boats and woes. Plenty of woes on pit road and woe links on the racetrack, but there was one woe above the West.
Yeah, man, if you're the 11 car, right, that's your worst nightmare in that situation. They have a loose wheel under green flag stop. They were fast. They
came in leading.
They were leading. They came in under green, and there was a little bit of like a slow run up all night. I heard guys talk about it. I was watching a couple of our stops, and there's like, you put the socket over top of the hub and you pull the trigger, and it just kind of stumbles all the way down. Now, if you don't stay with it and drive it home, it'll be loose. And it won't be like, you know, sometimes it's looser than others, but if you just tap it, and there's a lot of speed in that, just tap and it comes off better the next time. But that's the risk you run, right? And in that situation, like, if I'm the pit coach, I'm just like, dude, we can do a 10-5 there and be just fine.
Yeah.
With that good of a car, right? You just finish the day off. But, you know, they're a good team and they're a solid team. That's a big hiccup. But, you know, listening to Denny's podcast on the way down here, he's pretty positive about it. He feels pretty good about it. But if you go to Kansas and blow a motor, right, then that tune changes a little bit. But nonetheless, a great team. The 19 also had a loose wheel, and they're great team as well, you know. But it's just this place, man. If you search for speed, like, we had a rough day. 12 car, Paul Swan was in our pit box jumping around at one point in time. I even posted on Instagram. I'm like, yeah, man, we get it. We're racing for 23rd and 24th back here. You're jumping around my pit stall. I like you, but keep that in your pit box. No, but
I want to try to sell you some tickets.
Those guys, the 3 car had a great day. I think they were top 3 on Dartfish. The winners of the day, 24 car, they pick up, start the playoffs right where they kind of left off. The 14 had a ton of speed. You saw a lot of non-playoff teams really, really getting down dirty with it, busting some really fast stops. I mean, the breakdown sheet, I mean, I think like in the top 30 of the fastest pit stops of the day, I think the slowest one in the top 30 was like a 9-2.
Wow.
So it was, I mean, you're cruising, and the 24 and the 14, the 3, they were the ones that had the most amount of stops in there. when you look at the breakdown of just the average, right, the 11 was in the top 10 and the 5 car was right in front of us in like 22nd. So that just goes to show you're not going to win the race there, but you're damn sure can lose it there. And that's what I think we were kind of in defense mode as a team, which was frustrating because we just had okay stops. We did some adjustments and we were just okay and just kind of there. But you kind of mentally have to be able to mitigate that and survive this first round.
How many stops you have total?
I think we did 10 or 11, which I was
most
thinking
under green,
we were gonna,
right?
Yeah, most of them were under green. Most, I would say half probably and
five.
Half.
Yeah.
Probably half and half. We were down there on the end, kind of an island, and we were having a tough time with how Ryan was stopping in the box, just kind of on the pit stall that we were in. But nonetheless, we came out of there with no issues. You know, like I said, we weren't the fastest of the day. And
so you said you have a tough, you said you had a tough week. What do you look at of tape to clean up going to a similar pit step strategy type racetrack in Kansas this weekend?
You look at a lot of stuff. Like I looked at a lot of film last night. I looked at a lot of my right front tire roll stuff and just what different guys are doing. And it's like inches. Like, okay, maybe I'm coming back like 2 inches too far and that's costing me a 10th. Okay, what's costing me a 10th here? We have the speed in practice. Why is it not going to the racetrack? So you try to overlay pit stops and say, okay, what is going on? Where are we missing it? But then also understand the risk versus reward, right? Like I told my pit coach this, well, I call it dartfish still, but it's not that. That's what the timing system was always. I said, I'm trying to get a ring here, not a dartfish ego boost. Like I'm fine. If we're 20th on the day of speed, okay, so be it. We can look at that. But if we're third on the day in speed and we have a wheel fall off and we take ourselves out of this deal, then we got an issue. So that's where I'm to the belief, like you also as a picker guy have to be able to have your cake and eat it too, right? You have to, like the 24, they were P1 on the day. They gained a ton of points because of it.
Yep.
So you can't play scared at this level, but you know, they also have a big points cushion. So we could sit here and make excuses and talk about, you know, which way the wind blew and how it could have been better. But our team, we just had a rough day, but we leave there 16 of the good. 15 points better than how we came
on in. A day that so many shot themselves in the foot. You guys hit it straight down the middle. Finished that's ninth, it. Solid stops.
I got over in the rough a couple times, but I was able to get it back.
Get out. Up, yeah. Down. You're get, able to get up and down.
Get a par.
But could be a lot worse. Buddy.
No birdies. No birdies were hit, but we
don't leave it short on an eagle putt.
But yeah,
what they say,
dude, the dog of the week.
My God, man, Dalton Lander. Some bitch just caught on fire and still finished the stop.
We've talked about Dalton in here before.
Yeah. I mean, we've been trying to tell y'all.
That 17 bunch is a special bunch. They're young. Dalton Leonard.
You can light them on fire. They're still going to get a good stop.
But the hero in a half shell. Don't love that. He's got the old half shell Pro-Tech helmet on back there. That's what I call those guys.
Sounds like some shit off Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's exactly what it is. Hero in a half. What are you being? A hero in your half shell, man? Put a full face helmet on. But to be able to.
Think it singed his eyebrows?
Probably.
I bet you it singes nose hairs.
To stay in there and finish when you're on fire is, and your car goes on to finish in the top three and you're down there, you're just prancing.
That is
your
the definition.
The next round.
You open your dictionary and you turn it to dog and Dalton's in there.
Dalton Leonard, dog.
Right next to Tim Tebow.
Young
right
dog.
There. There's a list of dogs and Daltons on it, buddy.
Yeah, but a lot of speed on pit road.
Wasn't even fazed.
A lot of mistakes. But
I don't know. How do you humanly finish that stop? Like you're on fire.
Well, he's not human. He's a dog. That's the difference.
Because he's an animal.
Yep. Well played, yeah. Ryan. Well played.
That's what it is.
The other one, I think that on the other end of the spectrum with Logano, right? Those guys hit the fence early. Those guys worked on that car all night long. And at the end, you're like, where the hell did he come from to finish 12th and salvage a day out of it? So. Good on them.
You check on Dalton. Dalton's my man, okay?
I gotta check on him. He's good.
He's fine.
Run top three. He should be checking on me.
Yeah.
He was better than I was. So.
Gosh.
Yeah, he's
RFK is freaking solid, man.
Dude. RFK's doing it. Their pick six car, the 16 was in the top 10.
Where was it? Where'd the six finish?
He finished like, eighth, maybe yeah, seventh eighth. Or eighth. He drove right by us and I'm just going to the front
speed.
Here.
Speed.
So yeah, they
speed.
And they won. They would have ran first, second at Bristol last year. I think Brad had a tire down or spun out or something.
Yep.
So they obviously got around. They get around Bristol too. RFK.
Dogs.
But they are working on some being some championship dogs if you keep messing around.
Yeah. Kansas this weekend is going to be much of the same. You don't think you'll have quite as many opportunities to pit, but depending on how cautions fall.
Yeah,
I think
by six stages.
There's a chance to also play a little bit more strategy here.
But flipping stages.
There was a lot, dude. It was weird last week when that caution came out and they opened pit road right away and then ran one lap to the stage break. It caught us kind of. We pitted at the end of the stage and it mired us back in like 24th. That's when Swan and the guys were running our pit stall.
Speaking of weird.
24th. Stop running over here.
What's going on with the lights?
Apparently, they didn't find the switch.
Lady in blackout.
Yeah.
Ooh,
that was crazy. Said,
Carrie Tharp, what are you doing?
Yeah.
We know you're leaving, but you got to pay the power bill.
Yeah, Jesus.
Don't put it on my man.
No, I'm just kidding.
God, but.
Carrie's why those bitches turn back on in 7 minutes.
Yeah. No doubt. Oh, he had to go to somebody's
Carrie was
ass.
Like, I am he's not going there, out like that.
He's probably sitting there enjoying the race, eating a pimento cheese sandwich. Enjoying life, watching it right off in the sunset. And the damn lights don't turn on.
Not up in here.
Jesus.
Now, you were on the fence of it because Blaney was like, yeah, I'm good. Let's go.
It was dark, bro.
And then he said that there's a lot of guys that were like, nope, can't see the wall.
You can't see the wall. It was really dark because the only lights were from the outside. So you had whatever angle the lights were above the wall, you had probably 3 feet of just really dark.
Really?
Yeah. And I run a little bit of a shaded visor. It's kind of clear, but it's got a little bit of a tint to it.
Dude, there's nothing that looks worse than just a clear visor.
It's the worst, bro.
It's the worst.
And I think I would wear the tinted visor pitch black dark just for the sake of looking cool.
Chris Buescher is a behind the wheel dog in car camera.
Goofy.
Aim it the other way. That whatever the helmet with the clear visor, can't do it.
And I think we miss Kurt Busch too anymore of like that. Just the orange visor.
Well, he had like the, what was that, like the Voyager where the shield is as big as your face.
He looks like John Gerard out there.
Yeah, gosh. Yeah.
But shout out to him, though. He gave a great post-race interview. And I was like.
Who did?
I like that. Chris Buescher.
Yeah.
Dude,
just
he's
gets out.
Doing it right now.
Like, you look at like the next wave of young kids coming in. And I'm gonna generalize here. They're like. They are so far removed from the Cale Yarbroughs, like just the look, because like those guys were actually like shoveling cow and like doing real man
work.
He's
doing that.
And Chris, I thought about that during his interview. I'm like, Chris Buescher looks like one of those guys in like the 70s.
That's what he is.
Because he's shoveling goat and he's like driving his tractor around. He's like, well, it's Friday afternoon. Guess I got to drive to the airport and drive this race car around this weekend. And I'll go back to work on my farm on Monday. That's like what he is. And I'm like, I can appreciate that. Because there are just not very many of those guys coming in anymore. They're just not.
You go down to the southern states, he's probably there buying some horse feed.
Probably.
Right?
Yeah.
You go find
some
him
barbed
in Burkdale,
wire.
Eating a Red Rocks. You're going to find him southern states putting a barbed wire fence.
Yeah, that's just what it is.
Hey, that's. I love it.
I love it, too. And I
Texas,
love to see him
man.
Run good. That's the resurgence of RFK. Him and Brad K waving the banner loud and proud.
How about non-playoff drivers making
a
little?
The 43 pit crew this weekend, dogs. When the 20 car got knocked out and they were in pit stall, too, they were just mowing people down.
I was
the
wondering
road,
where
right.
they came from. Like,
they're
at
good.
The end of the night, I was like, whoa.
They're Gibbs pit crew, and they're good.
Yeah.
You know, so – there's just a lot of good teams, and when your car's running good and you rise to the occasion, you know, we saw it with the 34 earlier this year, and they had a rough go, 34, not on pit road, but just the race in general, it's not.
Yeah, that was rough. They probably had the
worst. I mean, that
worst.
Was the definition of a tank slapper with a 38. That sumbitch wrecked for about half a mile down the front straightaway.
How about the 54 just pushing the two car?
That's just what, like, when you get stuck in the fence, it's just instinct. To want to like
just throttle up,
or just swerve into the guy that hits you, because you know you can't do anything when the guy on the inside is just running you on the fence.
Harrison Burton with a
big shot,
strong, but he had a strong day going. He was just passing the 43 inside the top 10.
Top 10, yeah.
I can't believe those guys. I mean, the 99 and the 48. What's your take on that?
That was probably ill advised for both of them, particularly the 48. I understand the block, the first block down to the left. because track position is so important. And if you know your car isn't great to fire, if you can defend and you can maintain two or three spots ahead of somebody else, by the time your tires get to peak temp, which probably takes 8 to 10 laps, if you can stay in front of somebody till it all plateaus, then you can stay in front of that guy for the rest of the run, especially if your car drives well on the back end. Daniel Suarez, I don't think, is the guy you would want to block twice in a row.
No.
Frenemigo.
He actually was trying to get off of him and go to the right rear corner because he had a run, and the 48 just trying to keep covering it, and he turned him in the fence. And I still thought the 99 was in a decent spot. And then he somehow got kind of like turned to the left into the 21 car. But the post-race interview on Alex Bowman's take was the
funniest
one that,
thing I've ever
the,
heard.
The one that made me was like,
Travis Mack said I've never flipped that guy off driving to the airport. Well, but maybe he said,
who's
maybe,
wrong? Who's right?
He said, but maybe I should go make a t-shirt before he does. Maybe I should go make a t-shirt about it. Yeah.
Burn.
I thought it was hysterical. Just here's my thing. Just let it breathe a little bit. People are mad.
No.
It's 500. Don't get on Twitter.
Oh, no.
They were all on Twitter.
Who was they all?
Travis Mack.
Was Bowman on Twitter?
Bowman was the only one not. Well, Bowman said it on TV.
Yeah.
And so I think Trackhouse, like Suarez said his piece. He was like, I hope I don't see that dude in the next 15, 20 minutes. I'm pissed. Walked off.
Ooh. Spicy.
Bowman walked off.
El Caliente.
But I feel like Travis Mack probably felt like he got called out. He said his phone was blowing up with people telling him what
Bowman
said.
Yeah, that's like
one
of those where you're walking back with like your brief, like your notepad in your hand. You're like look up into the Jumbotron, like,
right.
That's what bitch talking about me.
I would have just, if I was him, I would have just tweeted the middle finger emoji.
Like, that's I didn't do it at the airport, but now I am.
See, that would have been good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be okay.
I'm doing it again.
I'm past the days of explaining myself.
But yeah, like the explanation, and then characters. He has to like backtrack on one of the tweets, and like
that's a tough look.
I'm like, it's tough. Look. It's tough.
Well,
look.
You're fixing your car, right? To try to get it loaded in the truck, and then your phone just bah, 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 in your pocket. You're like, what? Why is everybody texting me?
What airport was it? What kind of car were you driving?
You flipping people off on the way to the airport, Core?
No.
No.
No, I did tell a story about somebody throwing up chicken and rice into the rental car leaving somewhere. I'm not going to name names, but he really liked Shirley Temple.
Yeah, Shirley Temple King. Yeah.
But that's another story for another.
Yeah.
We got some penny for your thoughts questions.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
All right, let's do it. Cousin Car 69 says, do race teams enter a season without all the races sold out of sponsorship?
I think everyone, you know, I think there was some news at a track house saying they were sold out, both their cars. Obviously, Busch is going over to the one, probably take more than half the schedule there. So that pushes a lot of them to the 99, so which probably takes up all their inventory. But it is very uncommon for a team to go into February having 36 races completely sold out. I know for mine, we've been starting to cultivate some really great sponsors with Celsius coming on board some more for next year, and Schluter and Gainbridge, and I'm sure I'm forgetting a lot, but Blue Green Vacations and everybody that's come along with us. I think we have only like 10 or 12 left, which is pretty good.
That's great.
So that's why teams are you know, heavily invested in sales teams, because that is the coal that you're dumping in that freaking locomotive engine to keep it running down the train tracks. Because the more you can sell your race inventory for, the more you can hire better people or more people and get more resources and tools and parts and all that good stuff. So we have consistently raised our sticker price, pun intended, for our cars. We're still probably half the price of what, you know, the overhead it costs for some of the guys in the front side of the garage. But for us, we're taking some large steps, and it's nice.
Trying to add some employees with some of that money.
Yes. Yeah, we need to add several employees. I think they have a plan to hire like over 20 people between
that's
now and Daytona.
Huge.
Yeah. I think we have 35 right now, you know, for two cars. And for comparison, I think JTG has like 55 or 60 for one car. So that's generally kind of the sweet spot of a number per car is 50 people, give or take. And you go to a, you know, track house, I think they're upwards of 135, 140 for two cars. So your strength is in the depth of your personnel for sure.
All right. Denny's left rear. They might have just created this Twitter account over the weekend. I've noticed HMS drivers blow their tires the last two races during the burnout. Could that cause damage to the car after the race is over?
Back in the day, you know, you would hear of guys just burning it down, blowing the engine, blowing the rear tires to knock the crush panels out, to knock the little aero trinkets off behind the cars. But I don't think there is as much tomfoolery with that as, you know, I think you can kind of look into that and probably make a conspiracy theory. But I think that in this particular case this weekend, when Larson has just burned it down, he's just pumped up to win at the Lady in Black. And more than likely, you know, that engine's, they're not, I'm sure they probably run a fresh piece every race of the playoffs. So they're not worried about the engine.
No. Not even one bit worried.
No. And you're not really worried about that car. That car might run later in the year or something like that. But I bet you they're 6-7 weeks out already on terms of their preparation for race cars this year. But yeah, I think it's just guys excited and just burning it down.
Good deal.
Do you have a Penny for Your Thoughts question?
A personal, like personally question?
Yes.
Personal question. Do we need to move Darlington away from being the first playoff race?
No.
Do you like where it is?
I love it. I love it.
Like it, love it, want some more of it.
Yes. But only twice a year.
That, not just once, really. Honestly, I think the Southern 500.
You don't think?
I'm good with going. I'm going. I'm dying on that hill.
Now, if we went, Darlington,
Martinsville.
If we went to Darlington one time a year, the energy for the Southern 500 would. It was already high to begin with, but it would be like.
I think we go there. Yeah,
it would be huge.
Yeah, once.
I'm not saying
Darlington or Kansas. You have to take one. You have to keep one.
Oh, you have
what?
To keep?
Not even a close.
Yeah, Corey.
Oh, wait. For two races?
Yes, yes.
Oh.
No, neither. To both have one.
So then where do you give the other two races to?
I don't know. Milwaukee.
No.
He's a big Milwaukee guy.
I don't know. It's just a race-ready track. Okay, Iowa.
Okay, I'm good with that.
I want an East race there. I'd love to go there.
Well, yeah, because Cup cars around Iowa, Progressive Banking will be way better than Milwaukee. They race horses around
Maybe
Milwaukee.
Maybe one day we'll find out.
Probably not.
Where else do we go twice?
Richmond.
We can take one away from Kansas and go to Iowa. Yep. And we can take one away from Darlington and go to Milwaukee.
We're not going to
and
Iowa.
And we can figure out who's right and who's wrong.
It's not going
to
happen.
I'll tell you who's right. It's going to be me.
Nope, I don't disagree.
What about Richmond? You take a Richmond date, where you take it?
Richmond?
Yeah.
I don't know.
To the house?
No.
Off week?
Yeah, off week. Yeah, you're fine by me.
I like that.
Kern County?
No. Not big enough facility.
Okay.
Right, they got, I mean.
Rockingham.
Pikes Peak.
Is it even a racetrack anymore?
I don't know. What the hell they got?
The hill climb.
They made a racetrack inside the LA Coliseum. I'm sure they can make one at Pikes Peak.
That's fair.
Figure it out.
I'd be down for another street course.
You would?
Yeah.
Two a year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be down with that.
Like Denver.
Are you on the side of the fence like Logano is? He was talking about at Media Day that there's too many road courses on the schedule.
I think I've had this conversation with some NASCAR brass, and they generally feel the same way I do, is the sweet spot is six.
How many do we have this year? Seven?
We've been back and forth,
no,
six,
we're at
eight.
Six. We're at six. Six. Here's the thing, though. It's not so much about, like, to me, the number is dependent on how good the racing is. If the racing gets better on the road courses, to me, that's been the weakest point of the year with the next gen this year. Last year, I thought it was great. This year, average at best, then we need less than six. If it's going to be incredible racing, six is fine. But like Indian Watkins Glen, I was like, I don't need any more of that.
But if you re-rack them two more times throughout the course of the day instead of letting it strung out the entire day, then you get people smashed into each other, and then we instantly call it a good race.
Yeah, we call it a good race.
I'm all for stage race.
It shouldn't be if it's a good race or not. I was like, did the caution come out? Is there a timely caution?
Yeah. Was there a green-white checker? Because that also instantly makes you consider it a good race.
Well, what race ready tracks are there in the country that we could go to? Iowa?
Milwaukee. I don't have the list in front.
Where else would you think? If I had to pick a road course out west, it would be Laguna Seca. But that's too close to Sonoma.
I think Sonoma's great.
Sonoma's great, yeah. But if I had to pick another one, it'd be that. Is there anything in Florida? No, we go there.
Florida.
Sebring?
No.
You don't want to go to Sebring?
No. Yeah, I don't want to sit here and talk about road courses.
I'm thinking about ovals.
Let's just build one.
Okay.
I think we start going north and south. What about Mexico?
There's a
Montreal.
Dude, that track in Chihuahua is badass. It's concrete. Bank like Bristol, shaped like Richmond. Ask Daniel Suarez about him.
Chihuahua.
Got a lot of frenemigos down there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who's your penny stacker of the week? You got to give it to Jess from Indiana.
Yeah, she was there. She was with Blue Green Vacations this weekend. Had a Stacking Them Deep hat on this week. We'll give it to her.
Cool.
So she obviously listened to the show. She has the hat. Jessica is the penny stacker of the week. But before we go, I got you guys a gift.
What?
It's underneath your seat.
No way.
Open them up.
Love presents.
So to celebrate Arctic's partnership with Stacking Pennies and the official tumblers and cooler and beverage refresher.
Oh, it's even got our names.
Core of the Joy Racing, wow. LLC.
Fancy.
I got you guys some tumblers.
I love it. Thank you.
That way when you sip.
I need one of these too.
On your coffee.
Oh, with our name on it.
Hot.
Oh, you
nice
fancy,
and hot,
huh?
Or nice and cold.
Thank you.
There you go.
I feel official now, which, by the way, people have been asking on social, and I didn't think we were allowed to say anything, but I think we are now.
About Arctic?
No.
About what? Oh, that you're on the show?
Yeah.
You've been on the show for 3 weeks.
Well, the first two I heard were a trial run in case you guys wanted to give me the boot, but I think we've gotten the green light now.
We got the green light.
Let's go.
Well, you got a tumbler. So you
I got a tumbler
now.
With my name on it, so I'm in.
It's pretty official now.
Thank you.
You can't go anywhere.
All the feedback I've heard, people love you on the show as well.
I love being here, guys.
It's great to have you. And you can also go find this tumbler, I believe, on corelajoyracing.com/merch.
Stacking Pennies on it.
It does have Stacking Pennies on it.
That's the one.
They sent me a cooler, too. It was freaking sweet. Ooh. I'm going to have the coldest Celsius in the garage, bro.
Let's go.
Ice cold. Just like Merriman's takes. Miss those ice cold takes, actually.
Well, that makes one of us.
I'm sure y'all do, too. Even if you don't, make sure you continue to like, download, share, rate, and review us. Give us 5 stars. Do all the things. And we've really been leaning into, guys, race day mornings. We've been doing our spare change. So we do it after qualifying. We break down averages. We give you guys some tips on who you might want to take in your DraftKings and who the overall favorites are going to be and what the hitters are. So make sure you tune in to us for spare change this Sunday because we're going to be in Kansas. And we ain't going to be with Toto no more.
Mm-mm.
We're going to be Stacking Pennies. Tune into Spare Change and continue to tune into Stacking Pennies. Appreciate you guys. This is Stacking Pennies presented by Mobile One. Goodbye.